it's hardly appropriate to start hurling generalizations.
If I may, I'll tell you the problem with the scientific power that you're using here. It didn't require any discipline to attain it. You know, you read what others had done, and you took the next step. You didn't earn the knowledge for yourselves, so you don't take any responsibility for it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as you could, and before you even knew what you had, you patented it and packaged it and slapped it on a plastic lunchbox, and now you're selling it. You want to sell it. Well,
I don't think you're giving us our due credit. Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
Oh, what's so great about discovery? It's a violent, penetrative act that scars what it explores. What you call discovery, I call the rape of the natural world.
Sunday night, the Warriors are up by quite a bit, so it looks like that one's going to be 1-1. Still have the Warriors in six. Had the Warriors in six going into the finals. Again, everyone just overreacts to game ones. Me too, but everyone, I mean, Bucks lost every game one ever, right? I mean, it didn't mean anything. But so, obviously, this episode is from 10 days ago or something like that, maybe 8 days ago. And so I haven't listened to it other than so here's what I kind of remember. I kind of remember that I didn't want to talk about too much about how below mid I thought Star Wars was. So we're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars, I recall, and we're going to talk very little about the Bucks. So we're just going, as always, we're just going to listen to this together, and I'll pipe in with whatever thoughts I have, if it makes sense to. If not, we'll just kind of let this one run. I'm sure I'll have something to say, but again, just remember listening to this. I didn't want to bag on Star Wars too much. I think everyone's kind of a sheep, which is fine. I didn't hate Boba Fett, Book of Boba Fett, as much as other people did. I feel like the kind of flaws that it had. Of course, you're watching anything, you think of ways it could be better, but I thought it disrespected the main character, and the moped scene was ridiculous, and he was talking too much, and they didn't do a good job. It sounds like I'm naming a lot of stuff, and they didn't do a good job of making him scary, and just, there are a lot of objections, but it was still always basically fun. The Luke scene was unnecessary. They brought back Baby Yoda. The staging of certain scenes seemed kind of weird. But it was fine. It was still in the milieu of Westerns. And so to me, it was like, there's like watchable C minuses, and there's just like really bad B minus. There's stuff that's maybe a little bit better, but it's just unwatchable. Star Wars is currently unwatchable. Like, it's not even Star Wars. Like, again, if you're feeling it, it's fine. It is kind of interesting. It's interesting which members of the access media are just not going to talk bad about this and even talk about how it's brilliant. Not even just brilliant Star Wars, but brilliant TV. And those people are compromised, and that's pretty obvious to say. But episode 3, I mean, again, this is all fake. Whatever, I can have my opinions, you can have your opinions. That stuff didn't happen. Like, they didn't meet. Obi-Wan and Vader didn't meet, and they certainly didn't do it like this. It's poorly staged, it's poorly shot, there's not a sense of space. It's poorly written, and it seems just to be for an agenda. I don't really feel like getting into the whole agenda of why they thought they needed a kid, they thought they needed to pump up everybody, Leia at the expense of everybody else. So maybe we talk about a little bit about this on the episode. I don't know. But it's just like, I know what they're doing. And it's fine. If you're into it, great. But this not my hashtag, not my Star Wars. I have no idea what we talked about with the Bucks at all. But like I said, I don't want to wait 4 weeks to put out an episode about, you know, kind of past events. I do think I probably at some point predicted I thought the Celtics were going to win Game 7, but whatever else. Again, enjoy the show. Top Gun, we loved it. You saw Obi-Wan, right?
I did. I watched the first two episodes.
What did you think?
It is not doing anything remarkable at all. I have some concerns over the direction it's going, but I really enjoyed watching Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi again. And I think I'm in for that. It's a weird and interesting kind of Star Wars property, as much as all of it is at the moment. It's, I believe, like the first thing in, I guess the first thing since the last movie trilogy wrapped up that does not have Jon Favreau or Dave Filoni involved. That's, to me, is, you know, I kind of raise an eye at that. Maybe that will turn out to be a good thing, but I do think there are some things those guys seem to have a tight handle on. There might be some things they're leaning into too much, but I do think there's some things they figured out that were kind of off with Star Wars for a while. But I ultimately enjoyed these first two episodes. It does some things, and it did some things very early that I was not expecting. And I don't mean that in a good way, in terms of leaning right into characters who we know from the past and being like, oh, look, this character is actually like just as central to this as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, this could, there's another like major, major character. Again, I don't know if we want to spoil this because I don't know if everyone's seen it, but you know who I'm talking about. They could have just named this series something different. And Ewan McGregor is then the supporting character. I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know how that will play out over a 6-episode run. But Ewan McGregor is really, really good as Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I enjoyed watching it. And I will look forward to watching the rest of the episodes.
I'm going to watch the rest of it. I just can't stomach this lesser Star Wars at this point, and it's a long way coming. And I had just come home from watching Top Gun, so the expectations were kind of whatever. And I mostly watched it, so don't get me wrong. I probably looked down on my phone a couple of times, but you know, I watched the show. Agree on Ewan. You know, you got Flea running around. You got this little. It's just everything. Like to me, I just can't tolerate like mediocre Star Wars. Like I spit it out of my mouth. Like I can't rock with that. And so it's not that I hate it, but I felt really old kind of watching it. And you know, I don't really like. I'm not a. This was the kind of the thing they ran into with The Mandalorian too. And obviously, like I'm not like a big fan of violence in movies. I'm not like I want stuff to be. Especially violent. But, you know, they did the first Mandalorian trailer and the guy gets cut in half with the door. And it's like, okay, we're doing an elevated Western that's going to march up, that's going to walk up to whatever rating it has. And I'm drawing a blank on, you know, the director that the director from the
Jon Favreau, was it?
Yeah, no, but he was acting in it. The European guy.
Herzog.
Yeah. So Herzog's in it, a certain expectation, right? And it's dark and kind of the whole deal. And now we're just back to Star Wars, the TV show, which I didn't like ask for, you know? So it's kind of interesting, but to me, this isn't canonical to me. And I'm really kind of coming forward to like, and my son, because again, these are my offspring, right? And they're like, they can't do that. Like I didn't watch Rebels. I kind of walked in and out of the room when it was on, but it wasn't like a boycott of Rebels. I just didn't watch it. I was into the other Filoni show, but like, and my son is like, they can't kill the Inquisitor. The Inquisitor died in Rebels season one. And I'm just like, look, man, I like these shows. You guys like these shows. That's what I would have said when I'm your age. Just go along for the ride, man. Let's just see what they do. You're not going to like everything. And they liked it way more than me. You're not going to like everything. Don't get so, but you know, that's exactly what I would have said. You know, Captain America can't throw a shield that way. He's got to do it this way. And they're just like, wait, that didn't happen. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he's not dead.
I'm not that kind of fan, but there's very obvious issues that they're creating with the direction they're going to in this story that I already don't know how they explain their way out of. Like, how does this whole thing launch? How did we get Star Wars? What are the most iconic early moments of, I guess, what we now know as A New Hope? And it's like, think about what we're seeing on screen in this Obi-Wan Kenobi series. How's that explained? How do those two things coalesce? It's like, you know, it's maybe the most central message, and I mean message transmitted in all of Star Wars, although there have been many since to try and mirror it. Now doesn't quite make as much sense. Now, I'm fine. I'm prepared to go with that and see how it goes. I mean, the one thing with this that I am interested in, I don't know if you've heard any of the quotes kind of Ewan McGregor's been given, seen any of the press he's done. He's been doing a thing that people do a lot, which I think annoys people who like movies and annoys people who like TV. And he's saying, you know, this isn't really a TV series, this is a 6-hour movie, which just, it annoys everyone. It's like, this is dumb. It's got to be one thing or another. It's actually a series, you know, released in six parts.
But you hate TV also, though.
Well, I watch, like, I like The Mandalorian. Book of Boba Fett, that was something else. That was different. And then the thing that was interesting with that show was it seemed like they even realized halfway through, this isn't working, so we're just going to have to make it The Mandalorian, which is insane. Like, as a pivot for a show, it's just the kind of thing that nothing else would ever really have had to work like that before. This might actually be a 6-hour movie that they've just chopped up, because they were trying to make the Obi-Wan movie really since Disney bought it, and it was originally slated to come up pretty early and kind of be one of the foundational things. I think at one point it was to come before Rogue One, then it was definitely supposed to be the first spin-off after Rogue One, and then they just felt like they could never make it work, and it was kind of put on the bench, shelved, until this came along. And I do wonder how much of this is just they've taken that screenplay and they said, okay, we've got 2 hours here. What way can we work this to make it 6 hours? I liked episode 2 a lot more than episode 1, even though I think there might be more stuff that doesn't work in the second episode. But if you're going to do this, if you're going to make kind of new Star Wars all the time, there's going to be Star Wars TV shows, I want to see interesting places more than anything else. Like, broaden my understanding of what the world of Star Wars looks like. I can get on board with that. And this was very Blade Runner, maybe too Blade Runner for a lot of people's taste. But I'm like, okay, it's a different place. Like, if you're giving me Obi-Wan Kenobi and I'm going to watch this series, like, yeah, if he's having adventures, let's bring me to places where I'm like, oh, okay, this is a different side of it, and have fun and do something creative with that. So that was a little bit more interesting, but overall, I don't know. And I don't know because of the central decisions they're making in just, you know, you could have given them lower stakes quests than this. You could have at least, you know, if this is a 10 episode series, you get 4 or 5 episodes before it would get to even what happens in episode 1 of this. And I think it's a better show for that. It's a more fun show, because people who just like Obi-Wan, they can go and be like, oh, what's he doing? And catch up with him and just see him kind of, what's it mean to be a Jedi this time? And to work your way back to being a little bit more active. And, you know, what's taking care of business look like in that setting? Instead, it's like, oh, well, he wouldn't do anything unless he, like, has to do the biggest thing. And I find that a little bit jarring. It's just, it's kind of jumped in at the deep end. And it's, to me, that's one of the worst lessons it could have taken from the last 10 years of Star Wars, is to immediately make everything the biggest, you know, possible thing. Maybe it does what Top Gun Maverick did, and it's using name characters and it's doing that to start, and it's going to get out of the way and it's going to give us something else. But I have very little faith that that's the case. I don't think by episode 4, 5, and 6, we're going to be like the adventures of Obi-Wan and Kumail Nanjiani's character. You know, I don't think that's going to be the case. We're going to be dealing with the characters who are the big name characters, which there's no spoilers here because nothing happens. We see Luke in the distance in episode 1. I have no doubt that by episode 6, we're seeing Luke in a much more real way. And
yeah.
Is that what's the point of that? I don't know. I'll be watching, but I don't know how I'll feel about it coming out the other side.
But again, and this is when you're officially washed up like me, but that's not Luke. You know, that's an actor.
Of course.
And that's kind of where you kind of the suspension of disbelief kind of drops off and you're just like, well, let's see this story. You know, I think they could have taken this in a kind of Logan kind of direction. And I think, because, yeah, Ewan, very compelling. You know, he's doing the thing. He's cutting up the tuna or whatever. I mean, a lot of that kind of stuff is interesting. And it is a sign of aging that I appreciate the slow scenes. And you want to kind of have this feeling of the passage of time. And the truth is, though, other than the cartoons, you know, the Clone Wars, the original Clone Wars mm-hmm. cartoon and all the permutations. So those all had the idea, of course, you know, Lucas, the original kind of mashup artist, mashed up a bunch of stuff and took up the stuff that he liked. And just he made this other thing that was derivative, but awesome. But it was this new thing that was derivative, like all, you know, like they say, like, you know, the great ones steal everything.
Or yeah, whatever. He wanted to make Kurosawa movies in space and he just did it. He's like, oh, I love these Japanese movies and these kind of samurai stories. How do I tell them how I want? And he did it. And we haven't moved on ever since.
Yeah. And so in the Clone Wars, which I liked quite a bit because I was starving for Star Wars that had a kind of an internal logic to it. So yeah, they'd have a Western episode and they'd have an absurdist kind of Buster Keaton kind of episode with Jar Jar. They'd have different weird kind of stuff. They do different genres. They do the, you know, the Marvel kind of thing of Ant-Man as a heist and Winter Soldier is this and is 70s spy or whatever. But it was kind of self-contained arcs. They had one that was really good where it was basically like an Apocalypse Now kind of thing, like a General Kurtz kind of, or Colonel Kurtz kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I've probably watched about 40 episodes.
Okay. I was really into it and there was like post-podcast kind of thing that I was into for a while, but I don't remember anything anymore. But like, you can do that, but like when it's human beings, we have to ask, like, totally, what is this show? This show can't really, and I think that's what Boba ran into too, the show was never a mobster show, but was pitched as like must be the Godfather. I mean, I don't really know.
Problem with Boba, right? You may hate this. You may really hate this. The character sucks. Character sucks. Always sucked. There's nothing to the character. And if they wanted to do the Boba show, that should have been The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should have come out with it then. But the problem is they made a show that was already kind of taking back the mystique of that character. They made it into something that the vast majority of people, hardcore Star Wars fans, casual Star Wars fans, went, this is closer to what I want from Star Wars. And like you mentioned the animated series there, there is a reason Filoni was like handpicked by Lucas originally and why he is Lucas's guy. And you see that in the animated shows. He definitely processes the world of Star Wars in a way closer to Lucas than anyone else who's worked on anything Star Wars, you know, since the original trilogy. But there is something different there. And it's part of that is like with Filoni and Favreau, I think have done a really great job. And I think they're doing a good enough job and there is a certain tone. And even Book of Boba Fett doesn't work, but they rescue it. They make it into something Mandalorian, which is tying back. They're doing some things I don't like, which again are reliant on, oh, remember this character? You know, that's tough. Mm-hmm. I think most of the time when I see it, it works in the moment, but it becomes more disposable because you're doing it. It kind of cheapens everything. I still think, though, they have a vision for it. The thing with Star Wars is it has been just all over the place, completely all over the place. So to then have an Obi-Wan series, and I know Deborah Chow, who's kind of directing, I think she directed all six episodes, and she came up on The Mandalorian, so she's kind of been under their guidance in the early stages of this, but those two guys not being involved in this, it then becomes something different, and you're just getting more kind of muddled versions of Star Wars. I don't know what the tone is here. The tone at the moment is just being dictated by how Ewan McGregor plays Obi-Wan, which is very stoically, and it's kind of, we literally got him like stroking his beard in episode two, and that's the feeling of the whole show. But like you mentioned Flea, and I think that's a great example. that's a Mandalorian cameo. Like, that's, I don't know if that belongs in this show. That's how you structure basically all of Filoni stuff is really serialized. Like, it's episodic. That's the case in the kind of the mini capers that you were describing in the animated shows, in Clone Wars specifically. I mean, Rebels too. I've seen some Rebels, like you. I haven't watched a whole bunch of it, but same idea. I mean, they're like all 20-minute shows. Like, so they're self-contained, and you can be like, oh, let's, you know, like a classic Western TV show. Let's bring in this actor to have a cameo at this moment, or this character to have a moment here. It becomes more jarring in a, like, oh, this is an Obi-Wan Kenobi story? It's like, maybe,
yeah,
maybe focus in on Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, this is, it's not something that you need to do all of that. You shouldn't be going, oh, look over here, it's Flea. Or if you're like me, I don't know if you know this, but the other Jedi who meets his end.
I thought of you. I didn't know his face. I was looking up something else, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Benny Safdie.
Yeah.
Which is also, I mean, it's not a Werner Herzog tier director, but they're carrying over this weird thing of, oh, here's a director. Now, Benny Safdie is also an actor. He was in the latest Paul Thomas Anderson movie. He's acted in Safdie Brothers' own movies. But yeah, a lot of that is very flashy, and it's kind of distracting. Flea, maybe more than anything. I didn't know Flea was in this. When Flea appears on screen, I'm like, Flea in the Obi-Wan? Like, this solemn tone that you're expecting, because also this has to be more in line with the prequels, right?
Yep.
And it is. Whenever Ewan McGregor is on screen, he's doing his version of Obi-Wan Kenobi. It feels of that world. But then there's something that's just a bit more chaotic. Like, I enjoyed it. And the thing with me is, I think I could probably sit down and enjoy, I'm not going to say any Star Wars, but just about most Star Wars, and be like, you know, as close to I'll ever get with just switching my brain off and watching something and being like, hey, this is a world I like being in, characters I like being in. But it definitely leaves you on kind of unsteady footing. I don't know what they're trying to do with this series. I don't know, like, is there going to be another series? Are they doing multiple of these? If they're not, six episodes is not a whole lot, and it's kind of like, what is the point of it? What are we going to do here? Like, is there a bigger arc? I guess that there probably is, because they're not saying this is only a one series thing.
I didn't hate it. It just kind of bummed me out. But I think, like, the blaster fight in the end of the second episode is kind of a perfect example. They know the things that make Star Wars, right? So they know it's blasters and lightsabers, and they know the 10 or so things that make Star Wars. There was a moment in The Mandalorian by somebody I think we'll all agree is not known to be a great actor or anything like that. And I've seen all these once, so I don't even know. But there's a Bill Burr moment in this, I think season two, where he kind of flips it and has this meta conversation about warfare or about the people who are dead, or I forget exactly what it is. But
is that the train heist episode? Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Where, oh, you know what? It's like he's supposed to just kind of play a role, but there's a commander there, and a commander is basically like, I forget, they had it coming or whatever.
He's like, he's basically undercover. He's like, he's switched teams, but he's using the fact that maybe not everyone knows that yet to get them on the inside for this kind of heist. Really, really fun episode, I will say.
Yes. I just feel like there's so much, and you know, I'm this guy sort of, but like, there's just, Star Wars is about everything. We started out talking about how you can make a movie about one nation bombing another nation. Of course, Top Gun isn't about that, but you can make a movie about war and have universal approval, and it's not even really about war. It's not really about any of this kind of stuff. Star Wars is about good and evil and kind of these ideas. So I guess what I'm saying is, there's so much they've made. Dude, they made a million books. They probably made 100 books, and I probably read 20 of them through the years. They have all this philosophy. They have all this kind of stuff about who can use aggression, and Mace Windu can kind of walk the line, and it, you know, who draws their saber first, and can you win if you strike in anger, and all of this kind of stuff. They have all this pop psychology kind of stuff woven through all of it. It's Eastern, it's Western, it's all this kind of stuff. You can do this with universal approval, but even if you can't, whatever, like, Star Wars to me has to be about something, right? Return of the Jedi was in some way about Vietnam. Like they all have to be sort of about something, and they have to be about good and evil. And again, I think we talked, I'm sure I talked about this every fifth episode, but you can ask if good and evil exists. You can ask if, does it mean anything to be good? You can ask any of this kind of stuff. I don't care if you bring up gun control. I don't care if you bring up any of this kind of stuff, but Star Wars is like this big blanket that you can hit this stuff and still be for the kiddies. And I just feel like, because Disney has to just appeal to everyone, we're getting Obi-Wan, even though I know it doesn't matter, I'm terrified that he's chasing Princess Leia around who's not listening to him, because that's going to blow his whole cover. And I should be more scared about the stakes of this show, but I'm not, because he's just chasing this girl through this alley for forever. And I guess to me, it doesn't mean anything. And so you can have a silly show, but there's just, these are the questions for people who are 20 years older than me. Like, what was Obi-Wan doing? Like, going back to like 1977, what was he doing in the desert? They made a book, Star Wars Obi-Wan. They made a book 8 years ago, I'm sure. Yeah, I read that one. You know, he's in the desert. And then that's more, again, more like kind of the Western thing. He helps this town. He does it on the down low. You know, there's a barkeep that's a moisture farmer or whatever. And he kind of dips in and dips out, which is actually, you know what that actually is basically Rango, which is basically Chinatown. It's a little bit of that, like
that's like Timothy Oliphant's arc in The Mandalorian. You know that?
Yeah.
What's was it? Free something? The town? Free town? Or
New Free Town? New Freeland? Something like that.
Like that's kind of what that is. Which, you know, Western that's cool. Stuff. And when I see that, and I see that with an actor like Timothy Oliphant in The Mandalorian, I'm like, that's fun. But maybe that should have just been the Obi-Wan thing.
That should have been the Obi-Wan show. That should have been the Obi-Wan show. Because I like, how do you feel about, you know, Uncle Owen. Uncle Owen had a pretty decent career.
Joel Edgerton, yeah.
Yeah, he's been around.
He's a big name actor, yeah. And also a director at this point.
I didn't know he was in this because I couldn't miss that Hayden was in this, but I wanted to be spoiler-free. And I saw him, and I'm like, okay, good. I like the idea of that, like, their tension could have been a whole episode to me, but on some level I know it's not classic Star Wars, but I want action and I want conversations and I want conflict and I want Tusken Raider stuff and I want scary moments and I want him to test his powers and see if he still has it. And it was all, like you said, it was all paint by numbers.
So what I did a poor job of explaining and articulating here is they made a lot of Star Wars books. There's a lot of Star Wars lore. There's a lot of Star Wars video games. But even if you just go back to all of the novels, it's a fairly obvious point. What Marvel did was mine pre-existing material. I think amongst all the mistakes that Kennedy and Star Wars, especially the bad Star Wars, the bad mediocre Star Wars creators are doing, is they're like, yo, everybody loves this character or that character. We're going to do this, or we're going to make a character that's kind of like another character. I'm going to gender swap or race swap or whatever. And that's not the lesson, right? So from the beginning of the MCU, and these just beg comparisons, and it's obviously it's not really a one-to-one, but I think this basically works. They're working toward Thanos. They have a template for Thanos. There's a lot of stuff in the Thanos arc that they didn't use. They picked and chose. Like, Thanos is in love with the personification of death in the comics. Like, in romantic love with, like, a skeleton that's death, or the idea of death, or however that works in the comics. Like, they took some of the wonkier stuff out of it and made it so he was sort of an eco-terrorist and all of it. But either way, they're building toward this thing. And basically, if you were in the post-credit sequence at the show in 2012, and it's like, oh, that's Thanos, except for my brother who thought it was maybe like the Super Scroll. But like, you're like, that's Thanos. Basically, expectations were met and exceeded. So they took a bunch of... So it's not enough to say, I think it's a big cop-out to say this happened in the comics, especially everything in the last 5 years. Like, that stuff doesn't count. But either way, even if they want to do that, like, the point that I wanted to make here that I think I talked over myself and never got back to was there's enough good Star Wars. And since there's enough good Star Wars, you should start with trying to replicate 75% of that stuff, because those are good arcs. Like, they have the whole Darth Bane thing. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. There's all sorts of interesting stuff you can do with the rule of two and Siths and how they betray each other and all. It's well-trod material and that has pretty much universal appeal amongst, like, the fan base. Going back to kind of the Top Gun conversation, like, there's a way to do this kind of stuff that basically everybody who's not trolling loves it. And they choose not to do that, and so they're just wandering around play-acting. And it shows up on the screen. Even if they were technically, like, way better at this, if this was somehow, like, David Fincher's Star Wars, it would still, or whoever, pick somebody, it would still be inferior, because they're just running around they're just running around faking. And so I don't know if that's any more clear, but that's what I wanted to actually say. Like, if they actually figured out the plots to mine, they could mine those plots. They're not doing that because they're incompetent and they know that they start out. I mean, that's why they're not making movies anymore. They've already failed at making movies, and now they're just here to keep the streaming numbers up. And it's a shame. And you know, the word is incompetent.
Or whatever. Like, so I didn't hate it, but I was just
I'll say it because you've mentioned the character. It's like the whole Princess Leia of it all hijacks the first two episodes. And that's just not a good idea at that point of that character's arc. Like, right. If they want to make a Leia show, there are times where you could do the equivalent of this, where you're like, okay, let's see what the gap in history is there, particularly with how that character factored into then the newer sequel trilogy. Like, if you want to do that, you could pick a moment and then be like, okay, well, let's actually work out that. But the idea was this was going to be Obi-Wan's story, and yet and to your point there, like, it's the idea of, yeah, you're worrying about, is Leia going to give the game away because he has to chase after her and the bigger stakes of that, as opposed to, you know, him getting from point A, which is as this reclusive in hiding figure at the beginning, to a point where, you know, he's Obi-Wan, the Jedi that we know of. I mean, not quite. Like, I say that we don't know where this... Like, could there be a time jump at some... We don't know what this show is going to do. Like, we don't know where it's going to go to and how far it's going to go. But that's a really episodic thing. You're using Princess Leia as, like, episode-to-episode momentum for an Obi-Wan Kenobi story. And that's just, like... It's so unnecessary. You don't, like, Leia...
She's Baby Yoda, though. Like, I think...
But that is exactly... The dynamic is the same thing again. And then the cynical part of your brain, like, you can't avoid thinking, did they just say, oh, wow, we finally did something that seems like people like. People like The Mandalorian. They love Baby Yoda. Oh, let's find another way to do, you know, let's bring a more recognizable figure in, but let's have the kid. It's like, which, again, to go back to your Luke's point, like, that's core Kurosawa. Like, that's core Kurosawa and it's core, like, Eastern storytelling of this kind. But the thing with that is Star Wars is established as its own thing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in particular, have no issues with them continuing to draw from that. But there are rules of Star Wars, and there is a style of Star Wars, and there is a way you can tell these stories that doesn't have to be, as much as I love in The Mandalorian, when it's like really good Western episodes, which they've done it, it doesn't always have to be a Western, or it doesn't always have to be, it can be Star Wars. Like, it's literally Star Wars. You don't have to always be doing a pastiche of something else now, because you are the biggest show in town, essentially, or maybe you're not anymore because you're making a mess of it. But that's the thing, which is, like, just make an Obi-Wan show. And
yeah,
how Vader is going to factor into this, and the need for Hayden Christensen to come back. Like, that's in this whole episode where we talked about all sorts of fan service things. That's the biggest piece of fan service. Because one thing, him being Anakin, does he need to be back to be Vader? Like, do we know that he's going to work in that I don't really get that. We'll see how that unfolds.
But I just want to understand it. And again, I mean, this is a very Bucks thing too. Like, you know, I'm a prequel lover, but like the prequels, we had to fill in all those gaps in our imagination. We had to fill in all that kind of stuff. The backstory was the thing and the idea, and it was the first. I'm not going to defend all of that. That did take too long and you wouldn't agree anyway, but we were in the weeds in it. It was like, it was our introduction into internet culture. It was just a lot of stuff. We were really invested in what happened and that arc. And I love those storylines, if not every second of all of those movies. With that being said, that's still Hayden. That's still my guy. And so there's kind of like this thing of the Brandon Jennings of like, hey, you love this idiot. Like, it's almost like there's a charity kind of feel.
Now I know why I don't like it. Now I know why I don't get it. I was the guy for years. I was like, why are these people just still? And I was moved past Brandon Jennings.
Oh, no. What I'm saying.
But you've nailed that. That is the Hayden Christensen of it all.
I think that's how they feel. And for us, though, we put on beer goggles and it was still Darth Vader. And that, but just for all of it, for Dexter Jester, for just anything you can name. And so that level of delusion and making it fit, like it makes fit, it fits to us, right? And so obviously they purchased Disney and there was all kind of this talk at the beginning, well, should we just redo the prequels? Should we do this and that? And obviously there's just so many millions of people who love Star Wars on any side of the camps. All I'm saying is, if I'm saying anything at all, they have stories. And I think we, with Marvel or anything else, we don't think enough about how they could pick the best stories, they could pick the best runs, and whether the George Perez Infinity Gauntlet or the Infinity War or Secret Wars, which I'm sure they're doing next, whether they're great stories, there's a skeleton that's out there that has an endpoint. And so they can do mini arcs and arcs on top of arcs, but they have like this thing. And I think what you saw with them, the sequel trilogy, is that they were just going to throw some Star Wars stuff at us and not really know when it was going to beginning or end. And I think obviously like Obi-Wan is also kind of showing us that it's just, I'm sure this will have an end point, but I just don't feel like it'll be as tight as I want. It's only been two episodes, but you know, typically I think like with a prestige TV show, like the first two are the good ones, right? I mean, like,
depending. Part of the reason why I'm out on TV is I'm tired of watching stuff and it's like I'm 2/3 of the way through a series before the pieces are falling into place and the show is getting into motion. This show is not in motion. It's a 3rd of the way true. Like, unless it is just entirely going to be this one story, which is about Leia and saving Leia, getting... And maybe that's all it is, and maybe it ends at a point where we're not actually seeing anything happen with Obi-Wan. Like, yeah, there'll be a change in his character and his demeanor because of what he's gone through with Leia, but I was hoping to see something that spanned more time, that would give us more kind of adventures, more story to that character. If this is it, it's going to be kind of disappointing. I mean, the one thing I'll say as kind of a last note on that is, I don't know if you followed anything that's come out of Star Wars Celebration. Caddy Kennedy was being asked about, you know, upcoming films and the plans on that. And for me, I've long felt they need to pull off the Band-Aid. And they need to be brave enough to just be like, we're making a Star Wars thing. That's new. You know, you can never get away from connections to characters that we already know entirely, because that's going to be like the legend of this world. That's the mythology that's baked in. But I did think it was interesting that she said the film projects in development at the moment are all at a point in the timeline beyond the sequel trilogy. My reaction to that was good. They've got to get as clear of Skywalker stuff as possible, because as much as if they nailed that in some way that was incredible, then maybe it adds something. We've seen them mess around on that too much, and it's just time to move on. And I think moving past everything we've seen, it's then clean slate. It's like, oh yeah, people have an idea of what the world looks like. People know what a lightsaber is. They know what the ships look like, what the worlds look like. But let's just tell a story within that. Like, that's where something good can happen. That's where Rogue One, as much as I like things in Rogue One, I know your feelings on Rogue One, I'm not sure if we're entirely on the same page on, I like how they do some of the things that they haven't done as well in other spots. But Rogue One is so, so close to just being completely out on its own in the kind of bold and brave way that they really needed to go with this a long time ago. And just be like, oh, great, we've got Star Wars. Let's make lots of new stuff and we can call it Star Wars. Like, that's the reason you buy Star Wars, the brand. It's not because you're like, we can make Luke Skywalker movies forever. It's we can make new original movies, slap the Star Wars badge on it, and people are going to go and see it because it's Star Wars. They actually haven't done that. They haven't used it in that way, which would give people the chance to be more creative with it than, here you are, you're given Obi-Wan Kenobi, you've got this really narrow time frame, we want you to have Princess Leia in there as well, Luke is going to be off there in the background, let's make a show. Like, that's not a recipe for a good show. Not a recipe for a good movie. Being like, hey, you know what Star Wars is. Write something that feels like Star Wars, and we'll call it Star Wars. Potential to be much more interesting. Potential to fail in bigger, more expensive ways. But honestly, they're not succeeding in the big ways they want to, and they didn't ultimately with the last trilogy. So that's why we're not having Star Wars movies at the moment, because they need to find a way that, you know, people are going to come out to see them, and you'll only do that by taking risks at this point.
Yeah, and you take risks, just in my opinion, you scale it back, you slow it down, but look, end of the day, these are childish, I don't say childish, but these are kids' movies, or it's a kid's cinema. These are good and evil tales. These are tales of knights. These are classic storytelling, and they just like I know what Star Trek is. You know, I know Star Trek is about is a utopia kind of space. It's a utopia space story about dealing with other culture. I mean, Star Trek is in some ways about the colonization of the West in some kind of readings of it. But I know what it is. It's a touchy feely kind of communistic kind of story about the best versions of all humans doing kind of stuff. And so because I know what it is, the characters can be tested in this kind of way. We can see if the characters are going to be broken. We can see if the captain is going to, I know where it's going. I just don't know at this point what people think Star Wars is. Is it just the properties? Is it just the sound effects that they have in the library? Is it just lightsabers and blasters and a shoot 'em up? Or is it the Joseph Campbell stuff? And I don't personally think, because I've read a billion books on this, I just don't think it should be hard to put the Joseph. You want to modernize it. You want to say it's different. You want to change it with the times. You want to go way back in the old time period or go way in the future, do whatever. So I think I mostly agree with what you said, but Star Wars has to feel like Star Wars, which is kind of where we started with Top Gun. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world to, I think at this point they could probably start over.
Do they need to see if Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie want to do a Star Wars story?
Let's do it. And Tom Cruise's hair will be as black as night again. We'd like to thank Adam McGee for being on the show. Do you want to talk about the Bucks?
We don't have to. I mean, I have to do that in another place. If you're not in a place where you're ready to do that yet.
I haven't listened to anything, man.
That's fine.
I don't know what you guys said. I don't know what Madden's. But I'm not. I guess we're going to talk about it. I'm not mad.
No.
I'm not mad. Giannis is awesome. I think everybody I'm sure we'll talk about it. We get to with the fellas at some point. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about kind of the ongoing thing. There'll be free agency stuff. Darvin Ham is gone. I mean, there'll be stuff to talk about. Dog, I just can't get out of my mind. It's a different thing. But then when you watch the Warriors play, and I just wish we could play like that. And we can't for lots of reasons.
Yeah, it's about Steph is reason number one. Like, yeah. He's equally as great, if not greater, he's greater in the now. In an all-time sense, they're going to be equally great. He probably will also be greater, I would say, but they're different players. And I mean, the one thing I will give you that I know Jordan and I talked about on the only episode of Win 6 we've done since it was the Bucks were not blessed with all the good luck and team building that the Warriors were. That the Warriors have this rough run of a couple of years because the injuries factor in and just nothing really clicks. Obviously, Clay's been out for most of that time. Steph has had injury problems. Draymond's missed time. You have the post-KD hangover. But they're blessed in a way that the Bucks will never be because they drafted those three guys. And that's what created the situation where when you get a cap spike at the right time, you can get Kevin Durant. And that's what then when one of those guys, oh, they're aging, you know, you're going to have a season where you're really just bad because injuries go against you. It's like, oh, well, you can get a good draft pick and you can develop some young players. It's like the Bucks just aren't built like that. And they can't be because Giannis has found money and the team is on a different track. And to be close to the Warriors, Jabari would have needed to work out, or they would have needed to pick someone different. And so the Bucks have a really, really difficult version of, oh, this is a legit contender team, and they've got a whatever size window we want to say it is. Like, it's tough. It's tougher than the Warriors version of it, which is the ideal. I honestly don't know if there's another team in the NBA who has that. I can't remember the last team in the NBA, like... You're going back to close to the Bulls to get something that's close to that, and even they were bringing players in from other places, like Rodman. Obviously, picking him up is a game changer for that team. So you were way ahead of this, and not that I wasn't on board with it, but you very quickly, when the Bucks won a championship, you settled into this. You came on winning six, and you talked to Jordan and I, and you were very much kind of narrowing in on this. It was really special that they won a championship last year. And I think the thing that anyone like who kind of had their head screwed on was reasonable about that. The reason that's really special is the best team in the NBA does not necessarily win a championship.
Yeah. And it's still special. I know you're saying that. But
oh, it's even it's more special. Still great. It's great. Even more special because we've now got the reminder. Like, maybe I'm naive. Maybe you agree, disagree. I think if all the cards align, if you have Chris healthy and you get a different version of the Bucks, I think the Bucks are probably still the best team in the NBA this year. But guess what? The NBA, like, what makes winning the championship hard is you're not going to year to year be able to say, oh, well, everything is going to go right for us and we can just go and win the championship that's ours. And you could always be the Phoenix Suns who, just as much as the Bucks, had everything go right from last year, and then you lose the finals. And then you lose this year and you're looking at a 37-year-old Chris Paul and you're like, what are we going to do? And DeAndre Ayton's going to be a free agent, and that's blown up. So the Bucks got their championship. They're in a position where they could get multiple more over the next few years. They may never get another one, though. Like, there's a reason it took 50 years, and there's a reason so many great Bucks teams just didn't get there. I'm pretty content that the team is built to be really good, and Giannis is at a level where, as long as he's there, year in, year out, we're going to get to see a run that feels real in the moment. Some may be shorter than others, but every year I think there will be a moment where everyone's like, this guy's the best player in the world. We can go win a championship. And that's kind of cool enough for me. And then you've got to see how the variables are going to factor in. And I'd love to be in a place where it's just like, you know, the books need to go out and get guy X, and that's going to guarantee they can't do that. It's just, they're not in a spot where any of that stuff is feasible. And we're going to have more big questions that we're going to have answers for in like a month in terms of, hey, how are the owners feeling? What are they prepared to do with tax? Like, you kind of have to bring Pat and Bobby back if you want to be as good as you were. And to bring those guys back, you're going way, way, way deep, much deeper than I think I ever imagined they'd be prepared to go. Yeah. So they're probably not going to do that. And then the team's weaker. And then John Horst is trying to magic ways to improve the team. You're trading away picks that at this point, the Bucks could really do it. You know, drafting a player who turns out like just, it's a really tough road. So as long as Giannis continues to look as good as he always seems to, as long as the core is there where you're like, yeah, this team is going to have a chance. I mean, that's a good starting point. And with the rest of you, you're going to have to see how a lot of it plays out. And I don't know, that's where I'm at. I don't know if that's popular. I feel like that's where you were at before this season even started, which is just kind of like, hey, they got one. Like,
it's a shame they stopped playing basketball.
That was Jordan's long-running thing. It's a pity the NBA had to finish, you know.
It was so great. No, I agree. I agree with different degrees with everything you just said. I am grousing a little bit because of my Middleton skepticism that we didn't actually get to see the thing. Like, I probably never, I would have admitted it, but like, I grouse about all of that. We also didn't get to see it. Now everybody's kind of a year older. I do think, well, first of all, we forget this every year, and I don't actually want to stop forgetting it. You forget that the NBA playoffs is a snuff film and everybody gets laid low by the end of it. And then you're just like, so everyone's the subject of mockery. And you just kind of forget. You're just like, oh.
It's always last man standing.
It's always that way. And it doesn't feel that way. I do think the NBA is in a much, I was telling somebody this last night or a couple of days ago, I think the NBA is in a pretty good place where now all the clowns are orbiting each other on these super teams and all these dumb constructions of their own making. And so maybe one year they'll prove us wrong. And then that hits the other part of the narrative. And it's good, but mostly like all these guys are the subject of mockery now. And you know, the names, but like all of them, Harden, I guess I'm going to name the names, but like Harden, Simmons, Embiid, Chris Paul, like every year now, like, and I'm not really, yes, I am here for the shot and for the sports, but like, I just feel like there's a lot of dumb arguments with this kind of winner take all thing, but everybody faces it, right? Everybody faces it. I actually think I was pretty surprised that the Bucks Celtics did the great ratings that people were saying. I mean, it makes sense, but I think it's our inferiority complex where you're like people love Giannis. People love that story. It was a great story. I think we defended it up to and including game five very honorably, in the same way that I expect the Celtics to win tomorrow, that people will be like, Beb, people will remember that Jimmy Butler game for the same reason. Like, we went out on our shields. I have my complaints, but were you not entertained? Right. Like, it was very entertaining.
Yeah. And they looked like the team until they didn't, is the thing, too. And I think that's why people watched. It's like, because it did get to a point where it got the build up where everyone was like, this looks like the Eastern Conference Finals. And okay, the Bucks are the champs, so probably more people take that seriously than ever. But then down Chris Middleton, down an All-Star, people saw them and were like, oh, they're actually, they're doing it. They're putting up the fight. They're making a series. And for as much as there's a lot of ugly games in these playoffs this year, for the most part, the ones in Bucks Celtics, until, of course, we know it wasn't, they were close games. Like, if you're going to have a rock fight, you want it to be that both teams are like really in it. And one of the big runs, as we saw, go both ways over the course of the series can just change the game. But like, I do think there's a lot of good stuff that the Bucks did under the circumstances. And I still believe, although the Celtics may themselves have kind of blown it in a very Bucks way of like, oh, you've got one foot there, you've done the hard part, now just go and win game six. Go win game six and take care of it now. They've opened the door and maybe they get knocked off. But I think that was a really good Celtics team. My thing from the start was, I don't know if Jason Tatum is real, but if Jason Tatum is real, now is when he's going to prove it. And I think ultimately that's what happened.
Oh, like, you said that I was skimming the pool and I nodded. I remember listening to that episode and he was real.
Yeah. And that was always the case. It's like, if he looks like Kevin Durant, the Celtics are going to win the series. And by the end of that series, he looked as close to Kevin Durant as any other player in the NBA has, since Kevin Durant came into the league. So that's kind of, in that regard, you got to tip your hat, because that's the kind of player that was going to cause the Bucks problem. And then when they're shorthanded and they're down a player, with your skepticism of Middleton, like, it really was, and I'm not talking like any kind of advanced numbers, but it was a numbers game, ultimately. The Bucks just did not have the points to get through that kind of series. And that's why when Tatum was quieter in the series, they were winning games, and they could get away with that. And as much as everyone was freaking out, I know everyone hates it, Al Horford scoring 30 points, you can live with that. When Jason Tatum is scoring 40 plus, you're dead in the water. And that's what ulti proves to be. You couldn't have it that, as we had in some of the later games, Giannis is playing out of his mind and he was actually getting out-dueled by Tatum. That's not a spot you could be in when you're down your second or third best player. But look, ultimately, I think this season's playoffs was very fun in terms of they were putting up a really good defense, and it's like, you know what, maybe they can do this again, maybe they can go to the finals, until the moment where it just fell apart. Yeah. And that makes it better and that makes it worse. Like, if they'd got swept or lost in five to the Celtics, everyone would more easily have gone, hey, Chris wasn't there, Celtics are great, just wasn't meant to be. And in some ways, because they did like what has become their character, they're going to make games ugly and they're going to find ways to win. If it hurt more when then they just ran out of gas, but also a factor, they ran out of gas. Like Giannis, we've seen him look tired plenty of times in the playoffs. That was right up there. Like in terms of this version mm-hmm. of Giannis, that second half against the Celtics,
all the missed. I haven't thought about that. All those layups, and that's when you.
Making you think about it.
Yeah, no, it was kind of six, it was kind of eight, and then they just didn't fall.
Look, yeah. We'll see what the offseason brings. They've got to do some stuff. They can't really do anything that radical, and if they try, things could get ugly. This is always the thing, too. I mean, I see people are like, oh, you know, you could trade this guy and that. Maybe it's time, you know, Brooke. Move off of Brooke and you do something else. It's like Brooke's really important still. You know, you've got to be careful because this thing that we've got right now, it's a good thing. You know, would you like to win more championships? Yeah. But the thing of being able to say next year, we know we're in a position where this team could contend for a championship. You can't take that for granted because a misstep here and it could drop off quickly and then you end up asking questions none of us really want to go through over Giannis's future again. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Pat and Bobby. We'll see what they do with the draft pick. We'll see what they can work kind of with around the fringes and what kind of team comes back next year.
I just feel strongly, it's the last thing I'll say. I always think it's dumb, and I know people do all kinds of graphics because, of course, that's what you do on Twitter to like be like. I never endorsed at all because, you know, I'm a Chris skeptic, but like I'm a Giannis skeptic still to some degree. I don't think people are really prepared for the actual bump Steph Curry is going to get. Like if they win the finals this year, let's say he's not finals MVP again, although it'd be really hard for him not to be given. But like he gets to have the highest level of the what's his name for the Grizzlies who went to Ohio State who never made the All-Star team until he just did for the Jazz.
Mike Conley.
Conley Jr., right? He gets to have the ultimate winner, like the winner glow, deservedly so, but the winner glow that'll be on Steph Curry for winning this a different kind of way and coming off the bench for Poole at the start and all of that is going to be really – I say that only to say this. Of course, I would have wanted Middleton there, and I think he could have helped us. I think the counter argument is that it's really hard to know which game Middleton is going to step up. So let's take the Drew finish of game five away and say that was the Chris 36-point game. There's still no guarantee what would have happened in game six or seven, and that's just the random of the Bucks. I really would have liked to have seen this postseason to see the Bucks be tested in a way where they really have to figure out how to play together because – as an old 90s basketball dude, now even for me, the Giannis positivity, learn from life, hey, you know, we're going to give my best effort, blah, blah, blah. They got to technically figure some stuff out because his athleticism is going to crest at some point and perhaps mm-hmm. it's already crested. And he's going to have to pick his spots, pick his energy, learn how to do kind of stuff and yell at these other guys. But there just needs to be kind of more of an – like it's not coming from Budenholzer. That's not his personality. So I would have liked to see – even if we flame out, I would have liked to see – not like a bubble heat thing where everybody's hurt by the end of it and it's a joke. I would have liked to really see them work some stuff out because now we're going to go through a whole nother year looking pretty good in the regular season and wondering what happens in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, or not looking so great in the regular season. That was the case this year and then –
yeah,
like to begin with, let's just see them have a healthy year, like a healthy regular season to begin with. Let's see what a season with Brooke back is like, because after this year, you know what? I take another strong regular season where they're coming in and we're like, okay, this is I don't have the concerns I used to have about, oh, you can only do it this way and they'll burn out if they're this good. Or it's I do think they need to get back into a place where they're not the third, fourth seed, where they can just like blow the doors off teams pretty regularly and you can feel the freedom to try some stuff from that position not try some stuff because you're down Brooke and you have to. And it's like, okay, well, Bobby's going to have to be the center. And maybe this is long-term planning, but then maybe it's also revealing why it won't work and why there are bigger problems in trying to plan for the future. I do think there is an element of it that this team could do with getting back to a place where they're like, oh yeah, we can hang 130 every night. You know, no matter who we're playing, we can do that. We can have faith in that. And we find something more in the offense built around that. It's something that they had pre-championship.
Yeah.
But I don't think there necessarily has to be a divorce between those two teams at this point. I think you can ultimately find the best of both worlds. Your point on Giannis is interesting. Your point on the type of character, because ultimately PJ Tucker would have been useful on the court. But one of the things that PJ Tucker coming in midseason gave them was a type of personality this team has always lacked. And in losing PJ Tucker, they did not have that. Like, Bobby has an edge to him, but it's different.
I was wrong on PJ. Yeah. Agree 100%.
Like, it's just, and there aren't many guys like that. And there aren't many guys like that in terms of a leadership standpoint, personality, and then obviously his game and his very unique defensive skill set. Like, the thing that I guess we talked a little bit in the aftermath about was, you know, Wes played really well in the playoffs and did a really good job. And on the one hand, you could be like, you know, Wes stepped up and did a lot of what PJ Tucker did. They could have had both of those guys. There was literally nothing stopping them. Wes signed just before the season, minimum contract. And they ultimately came up against a team and in a series where you needed two big-bodied, strong defenders that you weren't relying on to do much of anything offensively, particularly with Chris out. And it'd be like, let's say if PJ was the second guy there and he was on Tatum and you've got Wes on Jaylen Brown. And then Drew only has to worry about Marcus Smart, so he's got a lot more energy offensively. Maybe see a better series from him. Like, look, these are all the what ifs, the ifs and buts. It doesn't really matter at this point.
I'm so sad now. Aren't you sad? Like, we had an exhilarating conversation.
I've got past it. Like, I'm not watching a whole lot of the playoffs. I never do when the Bucks lose because God knows I watch and talk about it enough up until that point. So it's fine, you know, we'll see what happens. The next big disappointment for me is probably the draft, where I'm like, come on, this is the year they're finally going to take someone. Maybe they can find their Kawhi Leonard. You know, maybe there's just someone there that actually spurs into, oh, this is what the future of this team could be. Because they do really need that, not even at a superstar level, but just to like, oh, they drafted a guy who could be a starter for 5 years and is younger than Giannis. You know, that would be really useful. But knowing the Bucks, knowing their salary situation and the potential cost, if you're bringing back Pat and Bobby, they're just as likely to trade that. But until the draft, I'll park a lot of that. Yeah, I'll just think a bit about the championship. Wasn't the championship great?
The championship was great. Let's stop there. The championship was great, and this year was stressful, but it was fun to watch. It was fun to talk about, and you know, as always, may the bridges that you burn light the way.
That's it. That saying goes. Miles Plumlee said it best.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, we're coming a long way. Well, I'd like to thank my friend Adam McGee for being on the show. It's always lots of fun when he blesses us with his presence. And not really sure when there'll be another episode, but keep it locked, and boom. See how the rest of it goes. So thanks, everybody.